And it works out well. I feel like I'm down here on ground level here. It has been just a wild few months. I believe with all my heart that Satan would do anything he could do to stop this from happening.
Oh yes.
I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. You know, I believe Satan tried to physically kill me a little over a year ago with a gasoline explosion, so I wouldn't be standing right here. I really believe that.
Amen.
I also believe that Satan tried to destroy my spirit a little over a year ago in a church, through a church, and to keep me from being right here today. Not because of me or not because I'm great, but because he is great. And I just want to proclaim the goodness of the Lord this morning. And he is a good God.
Amen.
He's been so good to me. Did I have an opportunity to turn away and go the other direction? I did. Many. I believe here recently that Satan tried to lure me away with worldly riches. I really believe that. I believe that he was trying to move me away from being right here, right now. So I got to make this good, or otherwise, I tell you, I've been so encouraged by Brother Lanny. I've been so encouraged by Leon. I've been encouraged by my family, friends, and I've had people telling me, you know, and I think they probably knew more than I did at the time, because I've been running from God for so long about the ministry. And I'm about to turn 40, and I'm seeing people. I'm putting people in the grave. I've had two good friends here in the past couple years that have left. They're about my age, and so you know, I feel like I'm running out of time. If I really believe what I say I believe, then I'm running out of time. And I've got to get on it, you know. And I think it's kind of like roll starting an old pickup, you know. Every once in a while, you just need a little push, and Brother Leon and Pastor Lenny, I think, have given me that push. Now, they're still standing at the top of the hill, and they're watching me go down the hill, but they gave me that push, and here I am this morning. But I want to start this morning with a story, and this is a topic that was not on my heart until God put it on my heart, but I started out with the topic of pride. And, I had a sermon a mile long talking about pride, but since I'm proud to say that I don't struggle with pride, the Holy Spirit changed this sermon on me about midway through the week, and he did it intently and very powerfully. So I'm confident this is what God wants me speaking about. But I want to start the morning with a story, and then we'll talk a little bit further about what we're going to talk about this morning. There was a little boy in the supermarket one day with his mother. He was having a particularly naughty day, and his mother had forbidden him to touch anything else in the store. While Mom was going up an aisle, she heard a huge crash and turned around to see her son standing with a can in his hand beside an aisle full of cans. He decided to grab a can from the bottom of the display and had sent hundreds tumbling down. While Mom's face went bright red, a mixture of embarrassment and anger, she stormed down the aisle, picked up the boy, and placed him firmly in the child seat in the trolley. "Don't you dare move another inch, young man." After a few minutes had gone by, the boy plucked up some courage and said, "Mommy, you said the other day that when God forgives our sins, he buries them at the bottom of the deepest ocean, didn't you?" She said, "Yes, son," through her clenched teeth. And he said, "You also said that it didn't matter what we did, God would never drag those things up again, didn't you?" "Yes, son." "Well, Mom, I have a feeling that when we get home, you're going to go fishing." "I'm so glad that God does not drag up that old sin," right? Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. This is where I'm going to start teaching from this morning. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. I would encourage you to take notes. If you're not a note taker, man, try it. You'll retain a lot more if you take notes. Your Bible, some people have been taught that their Bible is sacred and that you should not write in it. I don't believe that. I believe you should have highlights and underlines and scribbles, and it should just be marked up. The margins should be full. Not that we're marginalizing God's word, but the margins should be full of our notes. But Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, are you there?
Yes.
Says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Yes, please stand. I'm sorry. We do hold God's word in reverence when we read here in this church. I really like that. I forgot to do that. But that'll be the first mistake and only mistake I make this morning. So let's try this again as we give reverence. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. God, I need you this morning. I'm just here as a servant. I want to become less so you can become more. I want to lift up the cross and preach the cross. I want to lift up Jesus this morning and only Jesus. Help me get out of the way. God, I just ask that you open up hearts to receive this message. Help me make it clear. Speak through me. Give me your spirit as a provision and guidance for boldness this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as you guessed, there's a lot of stuff there, but this morning, forgiveness is what I want to talk about. Forgiveness. It's mentioned some 150 times in the Bible. Forgiveness is what the cross is all about, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't that our motto? Isn't that our anthem? Forgiveness as Christians, as true Christians, the cross is all about forgiveness. That's what we stand for, right? It's our creed. But this morning, I want to dissect forgiveness just a little bit. I want to break it down into a few areas that I think we could really apply, that God's word allows us to apply. First, I want to talk about asking forgiveness. Asking forgiveness. This is a really, really tough area for a lot of folks. It's not for me anymore. I've been married for 19 years. So I'm a master at asking for forgiveness. But some of you, your motto is, hey, I don't ever have to ask for forgiveness because I'm never going to be wrong, right? If we're never wrong, let's just make sure we're never wrong. But why is it so hard to say I'm sorry? Why is that a challenge? That's so hard for us to say we're sorry. I mean, this starts at a young age. Scout is 3, and to have him apologize to his 8-year-old sister is like, it's like you're pulling his toenails out with pliers. It's just, it's nearly impossible. So it just starts at a young age. I believe that it's of the world. I believe it's of Satan. It's a pride thing, and we just have a hard time saying we're sorry. So there's something we need to know, though, and we need to understand between men and women, especially in marriage. Forgiveness is key. You know, my wife and I have been married 19 years, and half of that, I will say sadly, that we chose to do marriage our way. We chose to do marriage the world's way. We failed miserably. It didn't work out. We both brought a lot of baggage in the marriage, and I'm just being transparent this morning. I hope you guys are okay with that. I think God wants us to get real with Him and get real with each other. But we brought a lot of baggage into the marriage, and right away there was a lot of unforgiveness in our marriage, right away. And we lived for 10 years, half of our marriage like that. And I remember one night we were talking, and like I said, I'm being transparent. Divorce was a regular term that we used. It was. And now, you know, it's a forbidden. We never, ever, ever would use that word. But through Christ, one night we decided, you know what, we're going to give this to God. If we're going to just give up, we may as well just give it to Him. And so we both, I'll never forget it, we were both in our room, and we're bickering about something, and finally we agreed, you know, we give up, we quit. This is God's. We're going to give it to Him. And we got down on our knees and we prayed, and that night God changed everything.
Amen.
He changed everything. After 10 years of our marriage, we finally fell in love.
Amen.
We finally fell in love, and God saved our marriage, and I just cannot thank Him enough for it. We've got three wonderful kids, and I think family is where church starts. Church starts at home. I'm a firm believer that your kids need to see marriage lived out and done right.
Amen.
God created it, and I think that it's important to Him that we do it right. So anyway, long story there, but forgiveness was one of those things that God revealed to us that we knew we had to give one another. And we had all this pent-up strife between one another, and slowly God started peeling back the layers and allowing us to forgive one another. And as we did that, we were set free. There's freedom in forgiveness. So another reason that I believe that forgiveness is so hard in marriage is because we communicate differently as men and women. There are five basic communication levels, and we'll start. If you guys are note takers, this is a good one. There are five basic levels of communication. We'll start at the bottom. That is what I'm going to call the surface level of communication. This is where most men hang out, communication-wise. You know, it's very on the surface. Factual, you know, we talk about facts. That's the next level. Just above surface level communication is factual. We talk about facts. You know, I could say, hey, you know, did you see the sky today? Boy, was it blue. You know, really deep stuff like that. Factual. And then we get to emotional. The next level is emotional. And this is where forgiveness hangs out, right?
Yes.
Forgiveness takes you directly from... It takes you directly to an emotional level, doesn't it? When you ask for forgiveness or you are forgiving someone, it gets directly to an emotional level. The next level is intimate. And then the level above that is spiritual. Now, I'm going to give you an example. A typical male conversation, and ladies, this is why you need to know what you're working with. Todd, I need a volunteer. I'm volunteering you. So I approach Todd and I say, how's it going? And what does Todd say?
Good.
Or how you doing? What's Todd say? Every time. Now Todd's wife could have, you know, it could be a super abusive relationship. Todd could be being beat up. She could be locking him in a coat closet with a honey badger every night. I don't know. But you can see how intimidating she is. But I say, hey, Todd, how's it going? He says, fine. And with my God-given supernatural intuition, I say, all right, later. Boy, that Todd's a great guy. Is it lunchtime? That's how we guys communicate. He could be melting down inside, and that's how we communicate. Thanks, Todd. So ladies, that's what you're working with here. This is how guys communicate. So we have a hard time saying we're sorry. As Christians, that's a tragedy. It is.
Yes.
So I want to practice. You guys ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sorry. Some of you still won't do it. I'm not saying you did anything wrong. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry. Man, I thought we'd never get through that, right? Saying I'm sorry. Asking forgiveness. Usually sorry has things that follow it, though, right? Like, sorry, but... right? I'm sorry, but you made me mad. Is that an apology?
No.
No. Or... sorry about your luck, right? Saying I'm sorry. So I call that unsorrying. You're unsorrying somebody when you say, I'm sorry, but, right? Now, sometimes guys can get to this level, and we should, guys. We've got to get to this level to where we can get to an emotional level when we need to. We like to stay and hang out at this surface level. And there's really another level that I didn't tell you about that I think men have created. It's called, it's below the surface level, and it's primitive. It's a primitive level. So it's a series of like grunts and growls and, you know, honey, how was your day today? You hungry? Huh? I saw a new one this morning. David did it. We were in Sunday school class this morning. David needed to talk to Vicky. He didn't say a word. He steps in and he flickers the light switch. It's like smoke signals, right? Primitive. We should not communicate there, guys. And listen, you cannot apologize to your wife, man, by using grunts and snorts. It's not going to work. So, ladies, sometimes, you know, you're going to have to tell us if we offend you. We are terrible at the guessing game. we're not good communicators by nature. Guys, we've got to get to the point where, you know, if you offend, make it quick to make it right. Had a good friend who went to an encounter, men's encounter ministry with me here a few months ago. The first time he went, he got saved. The second time he went, he looked so sad. He was just, you could tell something was on his mind. And we got to asking him about it, and evidently, years and years ago, he had had an affair. And he knew that the Holy Spirit was leading him to tell his wife, to confess this to his wife when he got back home. And we prayed with him, and gosh, I was just so nervous for the guy. I was just, you know, because it could really go one or two ways, right? I mean, it's just so iffy, and you just got to trust God and say, you know, God, I know that this is your plan and that you want us to be set free from guilt and shame. And so he comes back, and we get back, and he's riding with his wife on the way home. They're alone for a couple hours, and that's, he said he was going to tell her. And so I just couldn't wait. I could not wait. It was just eating me up. And so the next week, I go talk to him, and it's like, hey, man, how'd it go? He said, I had to look because I thought he was floating. I thought his feet were actually off the ground. He was so relieved, and he was so free. And I said, how'd it go, man? And he said, she forgave me. She loves me. And, it was just so good. I mean, I still get goosebumps. That is the freedom that we have in forgiveness. We are made to forgive.
Amen.
Okay? If our Savior can forgive, he was innocent, by the way.
That's right.
He was innocent.
That's right.
We're the guilty party, right?
Amen.
If he can forgive, then we should forgive.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we talked about asking forgiveness. Oh, I was going to cover a couple other things. And emotional. Guys do get emotional sometimes. It's usually when it comes to politics or football or Dale Earnhardt. it's true, right? I mean, I remember when that happened. There were guys coming to work that were just, I mean, there was guys that were taking personal leave, you know? It's like, and it's tragic. I'm not playing down, you know, Dale's death, but I could just, I'm just thinking priorities, you know. He didn't take off for his own wedding or for his child being born, but I'm going to take off for Dale Earnhardt. I thought he was going to be a national holiday, so. I could see that. The wife sitting on the edge of the bed, patting him on the back, saying, "Honey, I know you're upset about Dale's wreck and what happened, but you got to get back to work." You know, your medical leave's running out, or your personal leave's running out, and so are the diapers and the groceries. and we do get intimate as guys sometimes. Like, for instance, I love my truck. I love that truck. The truck's been a good truck. It's just like, you got it 2 months ago. I think it's a little early, right? I mean, you barely know the truck. We can do that. We can do that. But I want to talk about forgiving others as well. We talked about asking forgiveness, and we all know we can say we're sorry now, right? But I want to talk about forgiving others. And this has been, I think, you know, this has plagued many who are living with the bondage of unforgiveness in their life. But I want to cover just a few more scriptures real quick on forgiveness. Just not because we're doing Bible drills, but because I want you to know it's mentioned a lot. And I want you to know that it's important to God. This is so important to God. And I'm just going to give you the scriptures. You can write them down, and you won't have to turn there just for the sake of time here. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." How did the Lord forgive us? The word "completely" would come to mind. Matthew 6:14-15. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's kind of sobering, isn't it?
Amen.
Ouch. That just got real, didn't it? That's the real deal. Luke 17:3-4 says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." You get the point? 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? Man, we serve a good God, I'm telling you. So forgiving others, we talked about asking for forgiveness, which we all at times struggle with. But forgiving others is another, just another level. Forgiving others is such a challenge to many. A lot of people will blame it on the way they're raised. A lot of people will just say, "Hey, you know, I didn't do anything wrong." But unforgiveness, though, it's a poison. It's like you drinking the poison, expecting them to die from it, right? You are the one that's drinking the poison, right? Unforgiveness is like that. Your faith will not function. It will not allow you to go on with unforgiveness on a regular basis. Your Christian faith will not allow it. You will have a dysfunctional faith. You will be bitter. You will have no joy. If you're carrying around unforgiveness, and it's typically happens when you're mowing, right? You can start the day and you can have this lush lawn. It's a beautiful morning. You're starting out. It's the top of the morning, you know? And by the time you're done, you're seeing red. You're thinking about, you've harvested something that happened 15 years ago. I can't believe they said this about me. Or what if they really knew the truth about you?
Amen.
Huh? That's right. It's quiet in here. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. What are we willing to forgive? This is a sobering question. And I'm going to make it real to you, okay? What are you willing to forgive? Could you forgive a thief? You guys want to raise your hand. Could you forgive a thief? Somebody stole from you? Could you? What about a liar? Can you forgive a liar? What about a pedophile? Yikes. It just got real, didn't it? What about a rapist? A murderer? You remember what the cross is about. And I know those are unfair questions, but He forgave it all, didn't He? He forgave it all. that gives us a relevance. It gives us a starting point. It gives us a baseline for forgiveness when we see Christ forgave it all. Oh, gosh. I mean, what if it was your kids? What if somebody messed with your kids? I don't ever want to be tested like that. I don't ever want to be put through that, you know. I've seen and heard unbelievable stories of forgiveness. And God help me, you know. Forgiveness is tough. What about this? Well, I'll forgive them, but I ain't forgetting it. Does that sound like forgiveness? Huh? That doesn't sound like true forgiveness. That tells me somebody's not giving it to God, right? You know, maybe somebody did do something to you. Maybe somebody did something unimaginable. Maybe when you were a kid, maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a church member. Maybe Betty didn't bring back your casserole dish. I don't know. But forgiveness is so important in our faith. Did you know when you choose not to forgive that you're sinning against God?
Amen.
You're sinning against God when you choose not to forgive. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." To overlook a transgression. So we talked about asking for forgiveness, and we practiced saying, "I'm sorry." We talked about forgiving others. Now I want to talk about forgiving yourself. I think the church is plagued with this. I've talked to so many people, especially Christians, and I don't know why. But they walk around in the defeat of their own condemnation. They walk around condemning themselves. And can I tell you that there is hope in Christ?
Yes.
That you don't have to do that. He never meant for you to carry that around. Maybe you did something horrible. Maybe you did something unspeakable. Let me just put it this way. You have sinned. I have sinned. Okay? Maybe it's that deep, dark thing that you did years ago. Maybe in the 70s. I don't know. But something that happened a long time ago that you cannot forgive yourself for. You're a Christian, but you just cannot give it to God. Today, I want to encourage you to give it to God.
Amen.
Give it to God. There is freedom in forgiveness.
Yes.
Maybe you feel like you've done too much bad. I've talked to people who feel that way, that they've just done too much bad. God can't forgive them. And I'll tell you, that's his specialty. He's in that business, and he's really, really good at it. He's a better Savior than you are a sinner. I promise you that.
Amen.
This is one of the most encouraging scriptures that I've ever found for those who condemn themselves, besides Romans 5 and 8. 1 John 3:20, this is one you're going to want to pull your Bible out, unzip it, take a pencil, pen, highlighter. 1 John 3:20. If you are being held in bondage from your own condemnation and you cannot forgive yourself, I want to encourage you with this scripture. 1 John 3:20 says, "If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." He is greater than our hearts. Stop condemning yourself and ask for forgiveness. It's free. It costs nothing. It cost him his life. But it's free. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." God can't even remember them. He puts them so far away, you can't remember them. We can't really do that. He has the power to do that. Psalms 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." How far is that? That's a long way. It's a long way. Man, we serve a good God. He's a good God. I'm going to ask our song leaders to come. This morning, I want to invite you to experience the freedom of forgiveness. Amen. You may need to leave right now and go call somebody. You may need to turn to somebody right now and say, hey, I need your forgiveness. You may need to turn to somebody or call somebody or go see somebody today and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Which, that should be really the only thing that follows, I'm sorry, by the way.
Right.
Not, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry, you know. It should be, I'm sorry, forgive me.
Amen.
So I ask you this morning, as they play and sing, perhaps you need to ask somebody to forgive you. Perhaps you need forgiveness yourself. Perhaps you've never came to God.